The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are for informational purposes only and solely those of the podcast participants, contributors, and guests, and do not constitute an endorsement by or necessarily represent the views of The Hartford or its affiliates.
You're listening to the Small Biz Ahead podcast, brought to you by The Hartford.
Welcome back to the Small Biz Ahead podcast. Gene is here again with us in Hartford today. We're very excited to have you here, Gene.
Very excited as well, Elizabeth. I want you to know I am almost caught up on Silicon Valley. So I just thought let you know I've been binge watching it over the past week. And I don't know why I've avoided watching that show. It is, have you watched it? It's hilarious.
No, I haven't. I can't
it's absolutely
stay up
hilarious.
That late.
Well, yeah, I mean, anyway, it's on demand. HBO, and it is it's just a hilarious show.
Once I finish watching Game of Thrones, I'm like done for the night. Like I have to emotionally like just step away from the TV.
Hodor.
Oh God, that Hodor episode was terrible. I mean, it was a great episode, but it was gut wrenching.
Yeah, it was very upsetting.
But then Veep comes on. You watch Veep, and Veep is most like insane show. I love it because I worked in politics for a long time, so I'm like, yep.
Is it true? Yep, it is. Yep, like you see that, and you're like, oh great.
It's all true.
Because I say that with my wife, saying like, this can't be true, man. Jeez, this would be really scary if it was. Veep is a great show, and it is a you can't do anything else when that show is on. You have to pay attention to every word so fast.
And Julia Louis-Dreyfus is like the most amazing
Isn't she great?
I've seen her in so many dramatic movies too. And she is so
She's great. Now, do you know that like her family, like her great-grandfather or grandfather's the Dreyfus funds?
Yeah, she's like a socialite.
I mean, she's like, you know, comes from a long line of financial icons.
Yeah.
It's amazing. She's great.
Must be nice. And one time I used to be I don't know if you know this about me. I used to be a television critic.
No.
Yes. And I interviewed Tony Hale, who plays her assistant.
Oh my God.
Show.
He's the best.
He's the best.
Is that when he was on?
He was on Arrested Development.
When Arrested Development. That's right.
He is the nicest guy ever. He is so nice. After the interview, he said, "Oh, I just saw this show on Broadway. I think you'd really like it." And like told me all about this show that had just opened and then sent me book recommendations.
Oh my gosh.
Such a nice guy.
Yeah.
So two thumbs up for Veep. So this week we're talking about two burning issues. We get a lot of questions about this. So I picked two that I think really kind of encapsulate it. And we're really going to try to stump Gene on this first one.
Uh-oh.
The Small Biz Ahead podcast is brought to you by the Business Owner's Playbook. Whether you're a seasoned small business owner or just starting out, the Business Owner's Playbook is your go-to destination for how to run your business. From business plan templates to advice on managing employees, the Business Owner's Playbook features up-to-date, sound advice on running your business.
So April in Texas asks, "I run an online course that teaches people how to lose weight safely." I bet she makes a lot of money.
That just sounds like you're very much of a growing business in this country.
How much?
We talk about new business ideas, right? That's a great business idea. Yeah, weight loss. Go ahead.
Anti-aging and weight loss.
Right.
So April asks, "I run a small business based on online courses that teach people how to lose weight safely. How much should I budget for new customer acquisition? Should I be advertising? Should I be doing affiliate marketing? What's a good budget to spend per new customer?" So, Gene, I'm going to let you dive into this one because...
Wait, before you even let me dive on it. So, first of all, how do you define affiliate marketing?
Okay, so affiliate marketing is... I'm going to give an example. Mm-hmm. So, I read a lot of fashion blogs. And, well, I don't read them. You really just look at them. And you say, wow, you don't really do a lot of work for all that money you make. So an affiliate of fashion blog, the blogger will wear an outfit from Nordstrom. And after you look at the photos, they'll say, okay, my skirt is from Nordstrom. And they'll put a link in there. And when you click on that link to Nordstrom, that blogger, if you make a purchase, gets a portion of that purchase.
Right.
That's affiliate marketing.
Right. So in other words, to use it in April's example, she could put, you're saying, ads on her website. And if people click on the ads on her site, on her right, then she would get, you know, paid for those clicks.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Or she would offer to other bloggers, they could write about like, hey, I used April's online course and I lost weight.
So she would pay them.
She would pay them to advertise her course.
Good.
But I think the best part of her question, I think a lot of new business owners, and we have a ton of new business owners listening to this, what do you even, how do you decide what to spend on customer acquisition?
Yeah, it's the biggest. First of all, let's make sure that we're in agreement here. Like, marketing is just, you are kind of shooting fish in a barrel for when you're a small business owner. I mean, the big companies, they're so data driven when they do their marketing. They have budgets where they can buy databases, hone in on them, target certain customers and then measure until they figure out what works best for them. And as a small business, we really don't have those advantages. So honestly, April, for starters, it's a gamble. It's an educated gamble. Is what you're about to do. So you're trying to figure out with your hard earned money, where do you spend it? So if I was in like the online, weight loss business. So for starters, I don't think that it's not a new business. Okay. I mean, there's been weight loss programs, online, television, books, whatever. Lots of companies that are out there that we know of that provide those kinds of services. So the first thing I would do is I would actually do a little bit of cheating. I would be looking at what those bigger companies are doing. Where are they? Where are they advertising? How are they spending their marketing money? What audiences are they targeting? What sites might be they advertising on? Look at their ads that they might be placing online. What do you think? What type of keywords do you think that they're using? And I think that your goal should be, you're not trying to be a multi Fortune 1000 weight loss company. You want to grow your business. So I think you should basically look for to do a sliver of what some of those big companies are doing to find out, to figure out what is right for you. So I guess my biggest advice is don't recreate the wheel. This is not something that hasn't been done before. There are plenty of other companies out there in this industry that have done this already. Look at what they've done and follow them, okay?
Those large companies, because I work for a really big company, they have huge staffs.
Huge
teams that focus on this. And they're not going to spend their money on things that don't work.
Right.
So copying them and putting your brand on things and putting your voice and your spin on those types of marketing pursuits is definitely, that's great advice, because they're not going to waste their money.
Yep. They're spending millions of dollars and blazing the trail for you. And believe me, you're not, you're no competition to them. They're not worried about you. But at the same time, you can look at what they're doing. And like Elizabeth just said, maybe try and do it a little bit better, right? Or fashion your message, your advertising that's more unique, for your business. But I would definitely take that. So, and I don't know, I'm not an expert in the, and I should be to lose some weight, but in the online weight loss business, is Facebook a great place to be? I don't know. Is just AdWords a better place to be? Should you be advertising in certain types of magazines or publications? Trust me, that's all been figured out. Mm-hmm. That's all been figured out. So I'd pick an online weight loss. We're using April's example, but for anybody that's starting a small business, unless you're going into some business that's never been thought of before, and let's all agree, we've got thousands and thousands of years, tens of thousands of years of human history now, you're not going to think of a business that hasn't been thought of before. Somebody out there has already done this already successfully and much larger than you. Copy them. And fashion your marketing around what they're doing.
And the other part of this is you need to also figure out, which I'm assuming you already have, who your target audience is, and you find out where they are. And then you use whatever is available to you. Like, are you a writer? So then you do some content marketing.
Sure.
You have a blog. You drive people through that. Maybe you do some influencer marketing, which is the new big thing, which is also becoming very controversial.
Yep.
Because...
And where's the line that you draw?
Exactly.
Right?
And
right.
If you're not familiar with influencer marketing, that's when you pay a celebrity. But in your case, you'd probably be we'd be paying maybe an Instagram celebrity to say
somebody that's in physical fitness, somebody that's that blogs about weight loss or nutrition.
They talk about your product, and then they drive people to that, probably with an affiliate link.
Right.
So you're going to pay them to do that promotion, and then you're going to pay them a portion of any customers they drive to you.
The best example of that is Kim Kardashian, right? Like, if you watch Keeping Up with the Kardashians, which, by the way, I watch every week and absolutely love it. Yeah, it's a great show. And you'll notice on the show itself that when, like, the Kardashian girls are, like, sitting around and they're eating or drinking, and they're always eating and drinking on the show, sometimes the labels of stuff are blurred out on the show. If a label or something is not blurred out, somebody has paid to have their product on their show because they're, as an influencer, they're, in a sense, like, giving that. And if it's blurred out, that means they haven't paid to have their product on the show, even if they're...
If you're such a big Kardashian fan, how come you don't speak with vocal fry?
They do. They do suffer from vocal fry. That's a Howard Stern coined term
If you're not familiar with vocal fry, I will link to a great video from CBS Sunday Morning about vocal fry.
It's true. So well, you see it on The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. That's where you see a lot of vocal fry going.
You watch The Bachelor and The Bachelorette.
Oh yeah, that's also true. Also fantastic. I have a lot of free time. But on the Kardashians, that's a whole other. We'll have a conversation someday about why I think Kim Kardashian is an amazing entrepreneur.
Amazing.
Yes.
So coming up with a budget to spend per new customer. So you're saying that's just, you just say, like, I'm going to say $50 and go with that.
Yeah, that's really, really tough to determine what your budget is going to be per new customer. However, you are asking the right thing. Sometimes people just say, like, how much should I spend on marketing? And that's such a general question to ask. Good marketers, they break it down per lead, per click, per customer. That's exactly the mindset that you should be thinking is, okay, what should I be spending per lead or per click or per customer? And again, we're back to the weight loss business. We're back to April's business. I don't know. What does Jenny Craig spend per click or per lead?
A lot of money, probably.
Sure they do. But on a per click basis, what is that number? That would be interesting to try and research and find out. What are other people in your industry spending on it? Because it just depends on the business and depends on the industry. If you're in a business where there's, your pay-per-click is a lot higher because it's a very searchable term type of thing, you're going to have to pay higher than if you're in some niche industry where maybe the keywords don't cost as much.
Okay, we'll be right back after we hear from our sponsor with another question.
Are you looking to expand and grow your small business but don't have time to keep up with the latest trends and technology? We've got you covered with the weekly Small Biz Ahead newsletter. Sign up today and start receiving our weekly email chock full of the latest tools and resources to help you run a successful business. Find us at smallbizahead.com.
Okay, our next question is from Brent from Mississippi. And this is a good one, Gene. I spend all of my time dealing with my current clients that I don't have time to work on acquiring new clients.
Mm, boy.
So he's taking up all of his time with his current clients are very demanding, I guess.
Yes.
Or he's spending a lot of time with them. And he's saying, should I hire a part-timer to work on this?
Yeah. Elizabeth, that talk about a huge issue. If you're a freelancer, if you're an independent person, if you've got a very small company, that is the biggest issue that we all face, that like we get the big client, we're working away on the client, everything that's great. Then the project ends and you're like crickets. You're like, oh no, I got no more work left to do. I mean, everybody, battles with that, with that issue. Before we put aside the question about whether you hire somebody, because hiring somebody, let's not put that aside. Hiring somebody, even a part-timer, that's going to take a lot of time of your behalf. It's not just the money that you're not going to just hire somebody and they're going to just come in and hit the ground running and be able to sell new projects for your company.
Yeah, that might
be
6 months of pain before it starts paying off.
So you better prepare for that. And if you're going to hire somebody, it should be with the intention of this being a long-term thing. Like you're going to try to groom somebody that's going to be a long, which is great. But just make sure that you've got the attitude for doing that. Otherwise, if you're not ready to hire somebody or don't want to make that commitment, you need to be thinking ahead. That's what good business people are doing. You need to be saying this project is going to end. And how am I going to eat once that's over?
So what is a good balance of time then? If you're a freelance person, you're a sole proprietor, let's say you design websites.
Right.
and you've got, you know, website, and then you're looking ahead to July and you're like, I don't have any projects then.
Right.
So what do you say in March, April, and May?
Like, how much time should you be spending?
So I'm spending 70% of my time with my current clients, and then I'm dedicating 30% to pipeline.
First of all, it really, you know, I think it just depends on the individual. I think the most important thing is that you are going to commit time to sales and marketing, whether it's an hour a week or 30 hours a week. You have to make sure that you're committing it. Now, then it's up to you. I mean, I know some people, man, they can get stuff done in 1 hour that it takes somebody else 5 hours to do. Yeah. So maybe you're one of those people and you're like, listen, all I need to do is if I spend just a couple hours a week doing marketing, I'll be good. I'll be able to generate some work for when this project ends. Or maybe you're that person that you're like, no, I really got to devote a full day a week or more because that's just the way that I work. So know thyself. But my most important thing, though, is to make sure that you absolutely do commit time to sales and marketing and don't get too absorbed in just that one client project.
And I think Gene hit on something really good. If you really do want to expand your business, which it sounds like you do, then I don't think you should hire a part-timer. I think you should get a full-time employee to work with you.
Just takes a while. And and one of the thoughts is for full-timer, we were just talking about an individual here at the Hartford, very, very common for big companies and small to bring on somebody as an independent contractor first. So if you are trying to groom somebody for the future, you're not ready to fully commit to that employee, not unusual to bring somebody on and say, look, you'll be a contractor, give me 10 hours a week. We want to expand that relationship, you know, do it for 90 days or something like that, or 6 months. And you can evolve it into a full-time employee.
Yeah. I don't think you're going to be able to grow with just yourself. So.
Oh, no doubt. And it's funny that you say that too. I love the fact that he wants to think about hiring somebody and growing the business. I never really became very, very profitable in my business until we brought on employees. You only have a certain number of hours a week, and you can make a living as an individual person running a business. You can make a living, but if you really want to make some money, you know, some super, you know, some serious profits, the only way you can do that is by profiting off of others, you know, and bringing people into your company that you're managing. And so you can have 10 people doing the work that you are doing. And that increases your business tenfold.
That also allows you to diversify a little bit.
It does.
So maybe you're not just like when you started, you were selling CRMs.
Actually, when I started, it was just accounting systems. Me and my dad. And my dad was selling, and it was me implementing the systems. It was just the two of us. And it was like the world's worst accounting system ever. It was my dad's accounting system. So absolutely horrible. And we were limited. I mean, I had 40, 50 hours a week of chargeable hours. And nobody's ever chargeable 50 hours a week because there's always non-chargeable. And you're just limited. So you can make a living. You know, and again, easier said than done. I'm not saying it's like you can start hiring people and grow your business, and you know, these are all very challenging. But I'm just telling you, that's why when you hear CEOs of big companies making all this money, it's because they're managing thousands and thousands of people. And to be a good manager is a skill unto itself. So that's successful business. You know, people are successful because they've grown organizations. They're profiting off the resources of their organization, the resource being people.
And Brent, I will, and other listeners, I will link back to some of our previous podcasts where we talk about, I feel like we get this question over and over again, and we will never stop talking about
never.
It because it is difficult to say, when is the right time to expand the business and hire someone? And I feel like you can't expand your business until you hire someone. But in order to hire someone, you need to expand your business.
And I will tell you this. So when we took on our first employee, it was a risk and a gamble like anything else. It could have been catastrophic. And it wasn't. It wasn't like a super home run, but it was good.
Yeah.
So I'm just telling you, like, what do I know? I mean, you're going to make your best choice. You're going to take a shot at it. And it might be a bad decision. Hopefully it's a good decision. But, you know, it's worth the gamble, in my opinion.
And I love that you always talk about how now you have an employee who ended up being better than you.
Oh, they're all better than me. Yeah.
Which allows you to really think about, where is my business going to be in 5 years? Like, you have that time now instead of just constantly trying to keep your head above.
My mindset has changed now that when new work becomes available. It used to be like, oh God, when am I going to be able to get this done? I was almost like dreading new work because it was like more like, ugh. Now when new work comes available, my first thought is, who's going to do this for me?
Yeah.
It's a total change in mindset. And that's like a, and everybody in my company, the people that work for me, I mean, I used to implement CRM systems and all that. I just was horrible at it. I mean, these people work for me are so much better at it than I am.
I'm sure more technical. You were pretty good.
No, I'm not very detailed at it. And, I don't know.
You're like, just sit down, figure it out.
Oh my God. I don't even want to think. It amazes me that I actually was able to do some of these things. When I look at the people working for me now are so much better.
Oh my gosh. All right. We're going to hear from our sponsor one more time, and then we're going to be back with a word of brilliance from Gene.
Running a business is challenging, and you probably don't always have the time to research new strategies, market trends, and develop skills. But imagine if you could have all the latest information on running a business delivered to you every week. Luckily, there's the weekly Small Biz Ahead newsletter. We offer some of the best information available for business owners, ranging from topics such as time management, game-changing technology and apps, to developing management and leadership skills. Sign up today for the Small Biz Ahead newsletter at smallbizahead.com.
All right, we're back and we're ready to hear Gene's word of brilliance.
So my word of brilliance this week is Instagram.
What?
Instagram, right? We all know it. Well, do we? I don't know. I guess if you're over the age of 14, you don't know Instagram. But Instagram, hugely popular service owned by Facebook. It's for your, to obviously to send out photos, share your photos with all of your Facebook friends and people in your community. And that's all well and good. Well, very recently, Instagram has announced that they are allowing businesses to set up accounts and create business profiles for themselves as well, so that businesses can be sending out and sharing photographs and also communicating, because it integrates with Facebook, and therefore provide another way to provide customer service and support and outreach to your community. So if you're a business that's marketing to people that are on Instagram, and it's very popular with millennials and teenagers, it's a place that you might want to consider investing some time in and some resources, because you might find some leads and new business there, or be able to service some existing customers using their new tools that they are providing.
I mean, it works on me, and I'm not a teenager or a millennial, but I see businesses on there, like restaurants will show some beautiful food photography, and I'll put them on my list of places I want to go.
And now people can comment on them. You can comment back. You can write, right? And it integrates to your Facebook page. Fantastic.
The other great thing, too, is that they now allow you to post videos. So let's say you want to describe, like, you have a new product. You can do a little video about that new product, and it doesn't have to look that great.
No.
I mean, it can be pretty homemade. And
people don't expect it to look that great, actually. They like to, it doesn't have to be a professional thing. They get it. But great way to, again, engage with your community. And again, Instagram is recognizing this, and they're giving you the ability to sell ads now on Instagram as well. So that, it's another place to spend your money. But if your users are out there and your community's there, it could be a real opportunity.
And I think you can do it for free, too.
Yes.
You can have a free account.
You can. Now, the ad buying, obviously, will cost. But my recommendation is to just Google Instagram for Business. Look at the business tools that they are providing. It's all new. They're growing. And it's a huge community for you to think about.
And we'll link to that in the show notes. So thanks for tuning in for another weekly installment of the Small Biz Ahead podcast. If you would like to submit a question, find us on Twitter at Small Biz Ahead and submit your question there. We'll be back next week. Gene, thanks for being here.
Awesome to be here, as always. I'm going to go back and watch some Silicon Valley. Thanks. See you guys later.
Thanks for joining Elizabeth and Gene for another edition of the Small Biz Ahead podcast. For the latest on small business trends straight from the small business experts, visit the Hartford Small Biz Ahead. We've got articles, how-tos, and videos to help you run your business more efficiently. Check us out at smallbizahead.com.